When he walks among us, all that he does, all of his mercy, all of his love. If the pen of the writer could write every day, not even his words could ever contain how much I've been blessed. Warmth in the winter, flowers in spring, laughter of summer, the changing of leaves, food on my table, a good place to sleep, clothes on my back, and shoes on my feet. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God is so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. Arms that can raise, a voice that can talk, hands that can touch, and legs that can walk, ears that can listen, eyes that can see. Oh, I've got to praise him as long as I breathe, 'cause I have been blessed. A mother and father, nurtured and raised, sisters and brothers, memories made, our pastor to lead us, this altar to pray, stripes that can heal, and blood that can save. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God is so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. We live in a country, the greatest on earth. Our flag stands for freedom and what it is worth. She stands in the harbor, Miss Liberty calls. All have gave some, but some gave it all, so we could be blessed. He's my shoulder to lean on when I am down, that rock where he leads me when I'm overwhelmed, the place where he hides me under his wings. He's not just a song, he's the reason I sing. Oh, I have been blessed. I have been blessed. God is so good to me. Precious are his thoughts of you and me. No way I could count them. There's not enough time. So I'll just thank him for being so kind. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. God has been good, so good. I have been blessed. We have been.
Amen. Amen. If you've appreciated the Calvary Trio, let them know by saying amen.
Amen.
It's been good. It's just been good. There's something about music that just prepares the heart. I am excited to see some of the young men involved in singing last night. And let me say to all of you that are here, what a wonderful way to serve the Lord through music and being able to play instruments. And that's something that a lot of you young people ought to get into. I hear reports from churches that they're starving for piano players. I would love to just see some of you young ladies say, you know what, I'm going to dedicate myself to that. And well, I don't know how to do that. Yeah, that's why you take lessons. You know, you don't know how to do something, and then you take lessons. And you know what, you'd be surprised how many of you could spend your life serving the Lord in that capacity in some facet of the church. And though I say, those of you that can sing and are blessed to be able to do that, use it for the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm always encouraged with good music. We try to surround our lives. We surround our home. We play it in the car. We just keep it. You say, you don't just listen to like only Christian music. Yeah, that's kind of what we do. Yeah, I know that's craziness, but yeah, we just kind of listen to Christian music is what we do. And it's a blessing. And so I've enjoyed it. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm not going to say a whole lot about my books because I'm taking most of them off the table. I've hidden most of them now and burned some in a burn pile. But I do, from time to time, really encourage preachers. If I have a chance to talk to, even in a casual setting, a handful of preachers, and they'll ask, the subject of writing comes up, I'll try to encourage them. I think more of our guys need to write. I'm just telling you, I really believe that. I think that's an area we're dropping the ball in, especially when we get up to a certain age. I think that, you know, we almost need to. We have an obligation. We're going to leave something that's going to live beyond us to help the next generation. We have to take some time to do it. And it's kind of one of the things I just talk about. I mean, if I get a chance to talk to a preacher, I'll say, hey, have you written anything? Oh, I couldn't do it. Yeah, you can. Encourage him and get him to think about it. And I mentioned that to Brother J. Reed here about a year ago and told him he needed to write some. And he came to me right at this meeting, so excited, handed me a list of, he said, before I do the work, I just want to know whether these are the types of books that you think would help young people. And he handed me a list of, I don't know, 10, 12 titles here. And I didn't have a long time to look at it, but I'll be honest with you. My reaction was a little negative, but I thought, wait a minute, I shouldn't judge this. We've got teenagers here. They could tell whether or not they think these books would be a help to them. So let me give you some reaction and whether or not you'd read this type of book if Brother J. Reed wrote it, okay? How about this one? Number one, the title of the first book, Four Bible Truths I Learned While Gutting a Deer. How many of you would read that? Do you think that? I think that could contain some good things. Absolutely. This one I don't know so much about. We may just have to. But Impacting Your World Through Christian Tattoos. I don't know. We may have to talk. I don't know about that. Here's one. I thought young people might be excited. Homework, The Abomination of Desolation. How many of you, amen, you there? All right, hey, write that one, brother. That got a good response. Here's one, Multitasking, How to Sell Amway While Bus Calling. What? Here's a good one. I like any time you try to help the parent-teen relationship. But here's the title. Parents and Super Glue, You Are Stuck with Both. Woo! All right there. How many? Not so much. Okay. Here's one that I thought would be fantastic. Church Camp Pranks That Teach Bible Truths. Would you buy that one? Yeah. Amen. All right. Write that down. Here's another one. Depression and How to Cause It. You read that? How many? Here's another one. And now this one, I think this is genius. This could be a bestseller. Three Ways to Hypnotize Your Youth Pastor. Brother, that could come in handy. Come on. I mean, just think if you could. Anyway, all right. Okay, here's one. He's a little bit of a theologian, much more well-studied than his personality would reveal. And he was thinking about a commentary on the Book of Concordance, Understanding the Most Confusing Book in the Bible. Anyway, I don't know. Well, wow. Here's one. Good things to memorize out of the Book of Mormons. I don't know, brother. I don't know. But I like the fact, I mean, Brother Reed is an encourager. He's an encourager. And so he wrote one, because really the group in here that probably needs the most encouragement are the junior hires. I mean, honestly, think about that. It's not easy. Those aren't easy years. And he wrote, he's thinking about writing this book, "Don't Worry, All Junior Hires Are Ugly." How many of you would buy that book? And see, I mean, that's encouraging. That is encouraging because they don't feel alone. You know, it's not like I'm not the only one. They kind of, I think it's helpful. And then two books on prophecy. Wow, this man is well-rounded. Here's this, the first one, "Your Sister Could Be the Antichrist." buy that one? I like this one. 10 survival tips if you don't make the rapture. Find Brother Ross, number one. Here's my favorite one, and I can see where this would be a help, especially in Greene County. "How to Make Meth and Why You Shouldn't." And so, possible books that will be coming out in the weeks and years to come from author extraordinaire J. Reed. Think about that. Let me have you turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to go back to those 10 commandments for the New Testament church. Hope I'm whetting your appetite on this. I'd like you to make a study of this. I think maybe every youth pastor, if you would take a week on each one. I really believe that these things have been way too long ignored. There are some things here that are commands to the local New Testament church that if we would just obey them, I'm going to tell you, it would change the personality of our churches. I think it would create an environment where lost people would come in and say, "Wow, this is the place I'd like to be. This is heaven. This is what I've been looking for." Rejoice evermore, verse 16. Pray without cease. I mean, just to go somewhere where people are rejoicing and not griping. I mean, that's an oasis in this world. Pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks. Quench not the spirit on down. Before I select the one that I'm going to preach from tonight, I'm going to introduce the message by giving you three possible titles. You think it was hard remembering the title this morning? I'm going to give you three. I don't know if this decreases or increases your chances. I want to speak on this. And young people, I really ask for your heart. Because the youth groups in this room and youth leaders, I'd like you to listen. And you may need to provide some leadership in this. But the youth groups in this room, you have nuclear potential. You do. And I like coming back every year to a place. I think that church camp or a church conference, a teen conference, can kind of be that reset button place for an entire youth group. It's a place where we come and make decisions, and God helps us through maybe some things we've gone through, but it's also a place to go where we can get a vision of what God could do through us individually and also through us corporately. And when you get a group of young people, and this is what we do, we preach mostly to the individual. Because revival must be experienced individually, first of all. But it's very exciting when God has done something special in the hearts of a number of people in the same youth group, and then they kind of collect what God has done and tie it all together and come up with a plan and go forward and expecting God to do something miraculous through that group of young people. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't know about you, but if I was a part of a youth group, I wouldn't want to spend my life listening to stories about what previous youth groups have done or accomplished, or some other youth group that I've never even met and what God's doing with them. I would want to be a part of the miraculous during my teenage years. Now, I can't put that in you. God has to put that in you. You have to want that. You have to build an appetite for that. But I'm telling you, preacher, we don't have very many. We're just a small church. We just got four or five. I'm going to tell you what, four or five. Give me the right four or five and look out. Something incredible can happen. If you've noticed in the Bible, God's never been concerned about using big numbers. As a matter of fact, there's times in the Bible when He refused to use a group because the number was too big. Because He was afraid that maybe that He would not receive the glory, that they would receive the glory. Are you remembering Gideon and his army? And so the Bible says where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst. Jesus didn't go out and enlist 200 disciples. He went and got 12. And those 12, even though one of them ended up being a traitor, 11 of those 12 turned the world upside down. Became the church apostles and church fathers and the first missionaries, and the miraculous happened. I've always said this. Listen, when it comes to a youth group, I'm not concerned about a huge number. I just want to get the right kind of kids to have the right kind of desires. And you know what? They'll help me. They'll help me collect the numbers. They'll help me make an impact. So I'd like you to open your heart up to me. I want to preach on this. The art of Christian friendliness. The art of Christian friendliness. I could also name it this. And I think this is doable, by the way, or I wouldn't give it the title. This isn't to sensationalize the subject. I believe this. You could call this message, how to double your youth group in the next year. How to double your youth group in the next year. Or I could name it this, the most unusual youth sermon verse in the Bible. Well, I'm taking a risk here. Here we are. What verse are you going to preach from at a youth group, at a youth conference? Verse number, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse number, chapter 5, verse number 26. Okay, let me just say this right away. Everybody put your lips in neutral until we explain this verse. Here it is. Greet, watch this, greet all the brethren with an what? Holy kiss. For once I got all their attention. Right away I've got everybody in here. Say, what an unusual verse, preacher. That's just an anomaly. Well, wait a minute. How come in Romans 16:16 we read, salute one another with an holy kiss? The churches of Christ salute you. How come in 1 Corinthians 16:20, all the brethren greet you one another with an holy kiss? How about 2 Corinthians 13:12, greet one another with an holy kiss? We just read in 1 Thessalonians 5:26, greet all the brethren with an holy kiss. How about 1 Peter 5:16, greet you one another with a kiss of charity? Peace be unto you, with you all that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. How about 3 John 1:14, but I trust I shall shortly see thee, and we shall speak face to face. Peace be to you. Our friends salute thee. Greet the friends by name. Now, before anybody casts stones or pastors or youth pastors get too nervous, let me hurry and quickly interpret this verse for you, okay? Let's break it down in parts. That's how I learned the Bible. What's the very first word? Greet. The word greet means to salute, to welcome warmly and sincerely. Now think about that. Again, young people, is this a suggestion? Is this a question? Or is this a command? It's a command. So watch this. This is what we get our people to understand. It's not just, by the way, it's not just teens that need to learn this. Our people need to learn this. It is a sin not to obey this verse. I said it's a sin not to obey this verse. Greet ye all the brethren with an holy kiss. Now let's break that down. Greet. It means this. It means to salute, to warm, a welcome warm and sincerely. To literally means this, to enfold in the arms, to salute, to welcome, to embrace, to greet, salute, to take leave. Now let me say this, and I believe with all my heart. The Church of Jesus Christ ought to be the friendliest place on the planet. There ought not to be any place in the world where a person goes to where they feel more welcome, more love, more sincerely cared for. And listen, I tell people this. If a visitor comes, Blessed Hope Baptist Church, I want their arm to be sore by the time they leave Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Shame on any member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church that does not. I mean, shame. I said it's a sin. It's a wicked sin not to seek out a new visitor and shake their hand. Not to greet not just visitors, but all the brethren, everybody, each other. What? Listen. You have no right as a child of God not to be friendly. You have no right to walk in, plop down with an attitude, look around like, why doesn't people come over and shake my hand? I had a lady in our church, God bless her. You know, you always got to have them. And she comes and sits down. She doesn't come all that much anymore, but when she does, she usually has a piece of paper and a pencil. She sits on the back row, comes in right away, won't hardly speak to me, sits on the back row, and she writes down the names of everybody that comes and shakes her hand. And the rest of the people she's mad at for the rest of the week. Yeah. And so somebody told me this one time. Let me tell you something, folks. Listen. She is sinning because it's not just other people. Why is it that it's other people's responsibility to be friendly to you, but you think it's not your responsibility to be friendly to other people? How many teenage girls walk around, I just don't have any friends. Crying in the room, I don't have any friends. Well, he that hath friends must show himself. Come on now. You know what? Don't come, sulk, and set, have a bad attitude, and then expect everybody else just to fawn over you. Get up out of your seat and go find somebody and shake their hand. Greet. That's what it means. Now watch this. So we have the first word, greet. Second word, one another, all the brethren, the friends, different places, different verses. But notice this, everyone. Greet is the first part of the verse. All the brethren. Let me say this, away with cliques. Cliques are killing youth groups. It's killing them. It is a command to greet everyone with genuine and sacred affection. It's a Bible command to love one another. Greeting others, making them feel welcome, reaching out to people we do not know or we do know, leaving no one out is a Bible command. Now, young people, I'm trying to sell you on this because I'm not just focusing in on something that's not important here. It's extremely important in you growing your youth group. Oh, you mean our youth pastor? No, I mean you growing your youth group. See, when somebody comes in, a new visitor, and I go over and shake their hand, young teenager or teenage boy or girl, you know what? They're not all that impressed. I'm the preacher. I'm supposed to do that. They probably think in their mind, well, he gets paid to do that. When another adult comes over and shakes their hand, it might mean something to them, but listen to me, that's not what's going to make them come back. You know what's going to get them to come back? You know what's going to get them to settle in? I'm telling you the truth here. You, dying to self, forgetting yourself, living for others, looking around, seeking out, finding somebody that's being left out, pulling them in, drawing them in. Hey, come sit with us. Come be with us. Come be a part of our group. Sit with us. Let me show you where the Sunday school class is. Let me give you a quick tour of the church. Let me introduce you to my pastor. Let me introduce you to my parents. Hey, this is so-and-so. Learning their name, remembering their name, using their name, bringing them to the Sunday school class, making sure they get back, getting them to the right bus afterwards to make sure they get home, giving them a, watch girls on girls, giving them a hug before they get on the bus and say, I hope you'll come back. I hope that, listen, I'll be looking for you next Sunday. You have no idea that's going to have 1,000 times more impact probably than the message and the sermon that I preach the morning that they're there. They're going to go home and they're going to say, wow, I found somewhere where people are real. I found somebody, some group that care. I found one person that really genuinely seems to care about me. So we have an obligation. Young people, you have an obligation. Let's get to the last part of the verse that's making the adults nervous and the young people excited and see if we can give it some clarification here. Greet means to welcome warmly and sincerely all the brethren. Means everybody. It means everybody. I think teens ought to shake hands with widow ladies. I think teens ought to shake hands with moms and dads. I think teens ought to shake hands with the adults. I think teens ought to seek out the preacher and shake their hand. And I think teens ought to look for visitors and shake their hands. But certainly teens ought to go after other teenagers with a holy kiss. Now, folks, the word kiss there, of course, and this custom of kissing is a Mideastern custom, and I'm glad that it's over in the Mideast and not here. For this reason, if you study it, never in their culture does a man go over and kiss a woman that would not be a member of his family. Women go and greet each other with a holy kiss. A lot of times they'll kiss on one cheek, kiss on the other cheek. We went down to Monterrey, Mexico, and I took our entire youth group, and we landed. We flew into Monterrey, Mexico. Got picked up by Brother Ashcraft and decided to spend a week ministering, helping him minister. And our young people got out of the two vans or three vans. They came to pick us up, got out, and the college girls from his college came down. The Spanish Mexican girls came down and they come over to our girls and they walked over and our girls stuck their hands out and they shook their hands, but then they reached over and kissed them on one cheek, kissed them on the other. And I mean, they're out there looking at me like, and you know, they don't know what to do because we're Americans. That's not normal for us. Here comes some Mexican guys down, and I got redneck guys around me, and they're saying, "Preacher, I'm just telling you right now, they try to kiss me, I'm going to punch them in the face." I couldn't say anything to them because I kind of was having that same feeling in my heart, you know. So we're kind of like, "Dude, it's good to see you, man. Like, nice, stay. You stay there. All right, good," you know. But that's the custom in some countries. Now, I thank God I'm an American. I thank God we just shake hands, you know. I mean, shake hands, and I'm all for a good firm handshake, but I want to hold your hand, you know. And I just, you know, shake hands, good firm, like, "Oh, you know, that's good. Okay, God bless you. Yeah, that's enough." But what it's talking about, folks, watch, is sometimes we get caught up in the verse itself and confused a little bit by the customs of the time, and we forget what it's teaching us. Don't miss what it's teaching us. It's saying this: reach out and shake somebody's hand. Reach out and be friendly. Let them know. By the way, I don't think it's anything wrong. You know, some of you girls are more of the huggers and some of you aren't. But it's not talking about you hugging guys, and you shouldn't do that. It's talking about you being willing to reach out to a young lady who, by the way, watch this, doesn't have a lot of love in her family sometimes. Come on now. Doesn't know what it's like for somebody to just come and get their arm, put their arm under it and say, "Hey, why don't you come with me?" And just, she's never had that. She's never had that tender care, that tender affection. That's important. It's important. Some of you older ladies, listen to me. You know, I'm just going to say this. Girls need you from time to time to put your arm around them. I'm talking about ladies helping ladies. I'm talking about guys and guys. Okay? And guys, I know, we're kind of like, okay, whatever, you know, but there is something that you need to learn. There's something about making contact with another human being. There is. It should be right and it should be appropriate. Stand up. A lot of times when I shake a guy's hand like that, I'll do this. Sometimes I'm talking to a young man and I'll go like this. But you know what? You'd be surprised on just what reaching out and touching somebody, what that conveys to them as far as your care for them. All right? I'm not talking about being weird. Sit down, weirdo. I'm not talking about being... Most of the time, guys do it this way, you know. We stand up, all right? Instead of doing anything that's too affectionate, we go, "Hey, man, how's it going?" You know, something like that. If you punch a guy, that's telling him that you love him, you know. So, you all right? "Okay, I love you, man." "No, I really don't. I really don't love you. I don't love you." All right, like that. You know, now he knows that I care about him, see, because I drug him out of the pew and beat him up. Now, what I'm saying is this. Watch it. Listen to me. What I'm saying is this. Hey, you all are going to be the ones that's going to build your youth group if it's going to get built. Brother Mark can just pour his heart out all he wants, but y'all's going to have to do it here at Trinity. I mean, the other churches, your pastor and your youth pastor, they're going to work and they're going to try to bring in teenagers. They're going to try to do all that stuff. But look at me, listen to me. I'm going to tell you. Watch it. If it's going to grow, it's going to be y'all. And you know what? You have to learn the art of Christian friendliness. Welcome warmly and sincerely each other, all the brethren, with a holy and pure affection. Preacher, is this important? Yes, it's so important. God made it a command, not just once, but multiple times, ending how many epistles to New Testament churches by saying, don't forget to love and warmly and sincerely reach out to people and make them feel welcome and listen, greet them and bring them in and help them and get to know them and make them feel loved. Listen, folks, there's been something lost in this culture, and I think it's the lost art of Christian hospitality, Christian affection, Christian friendliness. Young people, I'm going to give you some very practical things, and I'm going to sit down. I'll just go quickly through them. Number one, watch this. Say, "Preacher, how do you do this as a youth group? How do you do this as a youth group? Are you serious that we could double the size of our youth group just by doing this?" Yes. Yes. Let me tell you a story in just a minute. Number one, take care of divisions that have developed in your youth group. I think one of the reasons we come away as a youth group from time to time, we take these kind of trips and we go to places and we gather and we kind of sequester ourselves together, is it builds unity amongst the youth group. If I had our young people and they were spatting too much, or there's a little bit of division or this, that, and the other, you know what I always say to Dad when I was a youth pastor? I need to take the kids on an overnight trip or a couple day trip, because just something about going somewhere kind of bonds everybody back together. Listen to me. Please listen. The devil loves disunity. The devil's always going to try to bring something in your youth group that causes division. He'll do it in the church too, but he loves to do it amongst young people. Young ladies, listen to me. If you're not careful, something's going to be said or somebody's going to do something or a girl's going to look at you in a certain way that you may misinterpret. And next thing you know, you've got this little grudge match thing going. Come on now, help me. We're just where we're at. If we're going to do this, let's just do it. But next thing you know, this girl don't like this girl and she's enlisting these girls not to like this girl and she's rallying these. And stop. Listen, folks, listen. That has nothing to do with each other. We know what it is. You know who's over in the shadows laughing his head off? It's the devil. Listen, he's the enemy. He's the enemy. He's the one always trying to stir up division. Now listen, I want you to prayerfully, and I mean this, this is important. How can y'all go back home as a unified group and reach other people and bring them in if you have division among yourself? I have no doubt there's young ladies right now sitting here and you go to the same church and the honest truth is you got more in common than you do have different. And you know what? Your sister's in Christ. And something's happened somewhere along that's caused some animosity. But you know what? That thing needs to be settled before you leave here. It just needs to be settled. Okay? I mean, somebody needs to go to somebody else and just say, you know what? This has been going on and shame on us. And if I've done anything wrong, I just want to apologize. I haven't had the right spirit. You say, well, she did this. Well, I have a feeling. Listen, I'm going to just tell you this, okay? I've done a lot of this in my life. I've hardly ever met a situation where there's a problem between two people where it was 100% this person's fault and 0% this fault. I don't care if it's 20-80. If you've got 20 of it, then you ought to take credit. I mean, take a responsibility for that 20 and make it right. Now, what I'm saying is fix things. If you're going to go home and reach out to other people, then unity is important. Unity is not, watch this, unity is not everyone being the same, but everyone being on the same page. Let me remind you of this. You need to learn to not only accept different types of personalities in your youth group, but learn to enjoy a diversity of personalities. I'm glad God didn't make us all the same. Well, she's just not like me. Well, good. Since when are you the standard of perfectness that you're to measure every other human against? And if they're not like you, then they're less. What an arrogant, prideful, wicked view of the human race. You know what I found as God gathers people into the church? If you go to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, we have so many diverse types of different backgrounds and personalities, and God takes them all together, and every one of them is needed in our church. And where I might not connect with one person, here's a guy with another personality type that can connect with that person. Why I couldn't do this job because it's just not in my DNA. This person steps up and they're made to do it. And that's what makes a church wonderful. Listen, stop bickering amongst yourself because you're not like each other and start accepting the fact that God makes people differently. Don't let that cause division in your youth group. Well, she's too loud. Well, you know what? God sometimes needs some gals that are just a little loud. She's too quiet. Well, sometimes a girl that's just on a little on the quiet side can slip over and connect with another girl that has a similar personality. And you know what? You're turning them off. Hey, you know, you need each other. God uses all of us together. So number one, take care of the divisions that have developed in your youth group. Number two, watch this. Show up early enough and stay after late enough at church services to personally greet every other teenager, every other person at the church. Now, watch this. Here it is. From now on, your youth group is the official greeting committee of your church. Official greeting committee. I mean, you know what? You all as a youth group, right before church starts, ought to gather in the back, pray together, and then sweep into the church. And I mean, everybody just divide up. Take different aisles, go through the foyer, and make sure everybody gets their handshake. Everybody's made to feel welcome. Are you listening to me? I'm going to tell you, that will have more of an impact on visitors coming into a church than almost anything else me and you could do as a pastor, preacher. I mean, when I got my teenagers on board, and they get this, and they're active doing it, I had a family that joined our church. And I mean, they came, they visited several other churches. They came to our church, they walked in and sat down. And the man, afterwards, when I went and visited him, on Monday night, after he'd been here on Sunday, I went by house and visited him and his wife, and I said, first thing I almost always ask is, did you feel welcome at Blessed Hope Baptist Church? That's the first thing I always ask, did you feel welcome? Oh my goodness sakes. And the man literally began to cry. He had a teenage boy and two elementary boys, and he said, preacher, he said, I don't want you to take offense at this. But before you ever stepped in the pulpit and preached, we decided we were going to join Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We have never been in any place where the teenagers, now other people had been friendly to them, but notice what they said, where the teenagers came. They shook our hand, they asked our name, they learned our boy's name, they grabbed our oldest boy and had him sitting up on the front row, and we're first time visitors. Hey, what's your name? You want to come sit with us? The next thing you know, he's up there, and there was like, we decided before they sung the first note of the first song. This is where we want to be. Now listen, folks, I'm going to tell you something. It's an old, dirty, rotten, hateful world out there. And young people take a chance. They literally take a chance. They've tried everything else, and they see this church bus, and they say, "Yeah, I've tried everything else. Maybe I'll just give it a shot." And so a young lady or a young man gets on a bus, and they begin to ride to church, and about halfway there, they start panicking, thinking maybe this was a bad decision. I don't know where they're even taking me. They get off the bus, and all of the kids that know where they're going head into the church, so they just kind of go along with the flow, and then you watch them. They get to the back door of the auditorium, and they freeze and they don't know what to do and they don't know where to go. And usually they look for the back row and they shoot to the back row and they go to the back corner of the back row and they sit there and try to make themselves look as little as possible because they don't know anybody and they're thinking in their hearts, if I ever get out of here, I'm not coming back here again. This is so awkward. I don't know anybody. What was I thinking? Now let me tell you this. You got that chance. That's it. How many times, by the way, check it out. You got your role, your Sunday school role, your Sunday school attendance sheet for your teen class. Go find the last year's worth. We do it by quarters. You know what you'll find? You'll find the name of the regulars at the beginning of the quarter listed because these are the ones that are always there. It's written in the same handwriting and the same color ink pen because it's a new sheet. Then you'll see check marks pretty much all the way across because all of these are the regulars. But in a 3-month period, every quarter, you have a list of names that's been written in underneath. You know who these are? These are the visitors that came in those 3 months. Let me tell you most of the time what you'll see. You'll see a name, and maybe they came on the 6th or 7th week, and you'll see check mark, no check mark, nothing. And you had usually 2 to 3 weeks, and that was the window. Where did they go? I found that in our own youth group. I went literally back to a record to find the name of a girl that I couldn't remember, and I started noticing this, and I began to go to the Sunday school secretary, and I said, I want the last couple years worth of stuff, and I began to collect these in front of me, and I'm going to tell you, it broke my heart. I thought, good night. We've had more teenagers come. We've had twice as many teenagers come through here in the last couple years that didn't stick as we have now. And I understand that not every young person that comes to church is going to stay. But a lot of them would if somebody cared. A lot of them would have. I mean, the saddest thing in the world, walking to a teenage girl Sunday school class, see a visitor over here in a corner, back corner by herself, sitting in there, and here's all the Christian school kids and all the youth group kids, and they're sitting there yakking and talking and talking and talking. She's sitting back there, and the teacher goes over and makes a big deal, and finally looks at one of the girls and says, why don't you go back and sit with them? And the girl's got this look on her face like she's being punished. And she goes back and sits down and smiles once and never talks to her. And as soon as school, class is over, shoots over as fast as she can out the door. The girl doesn't even know where to... Hey! That's a soul Jesus died for. Excuse me, ma'am. Let me just ask you something, miss. Are you better than her? Come on, get up and testify if you are. I'd like to meet you. I mean, you're all that. Yeah, but preacher, she wasn't dressed the way we dressed. Yeah, you know what? She was wearing what she has. Wake up. There's a real world out there. Look around. Yeah, but she, I mean, preacher, her hair on this side was pink and on this side it was green. And her face looked like it had been attacked by a nail gun. And she had read Brother Jay's book and she had tattoos. Now, young ladies, you look right up here. You look right up here. Let me tell you what the hair is. Let me tell you what the piercings are. Let me tell you what the tattoo is. I hope you never forget this. This is what it is. Help! Help! Somebody help me. I am so confused. I'm so messed up. I've been so hurt. I don't even know what to do. I don't even know what's right. Everything I've tried has turned out
horrible, and everybody I thought I could trust has betrayed me, and I took a chance, and I came here. I seen y'all at the McDonald's after soul winning, and I seen how happy you were, and I thought, well, maybe. And they come in, and they leave. They fall through the cracks. Good night. I'm glad you got your friends. Don't get me wrong. I think it's great. I'm glad you have your Christian school friends. I'm glad you have your youth group friends. I'm glad you lean on each other, need each other. But somebody's got to keep the eye on the fringe of the crowd. Somebody's got to watch that kid that comes in. Somebody's got to reach out to them. I've often mentioned this, and I've mentioned it before here, but we have one of our daughters, our middle daughter. All of our daughters were good at this, but Hannah was gifted in this. One thing to be good about it, another thing to be gifted in it. But I told my wife one day, I said, you watch Hannah. Well, what do you mean watch her? I said, you watch her on Sunday morning. Well, what are you talking about? Just watch her before church. She'd sit up here on the front row with her friends. Church is getting ready to start, and she'd be up here talking to her friends. Nothing wrong with having friends, but Hannah would always be watching. She'd always be watching the back, and the bus would start unloading. She'd be watching. Some little girl would come in just like I described, come slinking in, looking around, darts on the back row, kind of hides in the corner. Watch this. And I'd watch Hannah, and after she's talking with her friends a few minutes, she'd say, I'll be right back, and boom, she'd head over there. She'd get that girl. Listen, what? My wife said, well, what are you talking about? I said, let me tell you what Hannah does. Hannah collects people that nobody else wants. Hannah collects people that nobody else sees. Most people don't even see them, let alone want them. And Hannah would always be up here on the front row with her little collected group of sometimes irregularly and sometimes inappropriately dressed visitors. But she knew their names and she knew where they lived and she got them to where they need to go. And you know what? Before long, you'd start seeing subtle changes and they'd want to come back. And there was a couple steps to an altar and they'd get saved. And some of those girls now are in full-time Christian service and many of them went on to Bible college. And let me tell you something, young person, if you go through 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th grade, and you don't replenish your own youth group, shame on you. Are you about to graduate as a senior this next year, and you have not accounted for one other teen being in your group because you were in the youth group for that amount of time? You ought not just to replace yourself, you ought to multiply yourself. Are you listening to me? I want you to hear what I'm going to say here. The best Christian teenager is not the one who is striving to become the best Christian teenager. I want you to get this. The best Christian teenager is not the one who's striving to become the best Christian teenager, but instead is the one who is striving to help other teens become the best they can be. See, some of you are in the competition mode. You just want to out-Christian all the other ones. Yeah, I'm talking about you, little Miss Pharisee. I mean, you try real hard to do right and be right and dress right and look right. You know why? Because it's a competition with you and you want to be known as the best Christian in the group. But the honest truth is, you're a snob. You're a Pharisee. When's the last time you reached out to somebody that, my goodness sakes, didn't have the advantages you have? Watch this. And this is good. It is good. Stop competing to best others and start helping others become their best. Success in the Christian life is not how high you can climb, but how high you can inspire others to climb with you. Are you watching this? Watch the fringes of the crowd. Go after that new visitor. Draw them in. Think how they how they feel as a new visitor. Bring them forward. Collect them. Help them. Get them to where they need to be. Learn how to make other teenagers feel special with your sincerity, warmth, and approachability. Listen, this is a gift. It may be the greatest gift that you can be given as a church member. Learn and remember their name. Use humor to amuse, not abuse. Never make fun of a kid. Never pick on a kid until you really get to know them and you know that it's all right with them and you build a friendship and you've proved your love. Listen, be you! But be a spirit-filled you. Care enough to forget about yourself and really dig to find out who they are under the surface. Ask this question, how are you doing? And when they go like this and say, all right, you know what that means? You know what this means? All right, you know what that means? I'm not doing okay. But I think you're just asking and you don't really care. How you doing? All right. Well, good. Done my part. Made them feel welcome. Wait a minute. When's the last time you said, hey, come here, man? I don't think you are. What do you mean? don't think you're doing okay. Is there anything going on that I could talk to you about? You'd be surprised right after that moment how many times tears well up in the eyes of a young man or a young lady because they said, wow, here's somebody that just didn't do the Christian handshake. Let's see how fast I can get away from you, trick. Here's somebody that really cares. Now, you get a group of kids. I'm talking about 4 or 5 kids. And they get what I'm talking about right here. And they go home and they get a heart to do this and they go after that. Next year, this time, when you come back to youth conference, it won't be 4 or 5 of you. It'll be 10, 12, 15 of you. Come on. You get a group of teenagers have 20 in you. Oh, we got 20 in our youth. Great. That's right. We brought 20. Great. Good. Why don't you go home and do this and bring 50 next year? 50? You got a whole year if each one got one. You can't do that in 12 months. Harvest. Lift up your eyes. The harvest is ready. It's white ready. Go pick it. Get it. Listen, I'm not even talking about what this brother said. I'm not even talking about go yell to the world. We're not even going there. I'm saying the ones that are coming in already. They came in. They're so hungry and so confused and just taking a chance on anything and looking for something real. They walked in. And we let them walk back out after 2 or 3 weeks. And the honest truth is, if they were honest and somebody came by and seen them, hey, what do you think about Blessed Hope Baptist Church? Oh, I went there once. Well, what do you think about it? I don't think anybody there cares. I don't think anybody could tell you my name. I don't think anybody remembers that I was probably ever there. Everybody seemed to be having a good time, and it seemed like a happy place, and it seemed like a good place, but they're just kind of different than me, and maybe it's not a place for me, because they just really didn't seem to want me there. Are you getting this? Are you getting this? Young people, let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a minute. How do you build a youth group? Watch this. I'm all for the promotions. I'm all for spring and fall programs. I'm all for activities. How do you build a youth group? You build your youth group through genuine compassion and genuine care for others. That's how you build it. And when a youth group gets a vision, some of you guys have so much personality. I mean, man, you're dripping with it. I mean, really, you guys are great young men. I watch it all over the place here. If you took that charisma and you took your great personality and you turned it loose on trying to reach other young men coming into the church, you know what? You could fill a pew or two on your own in a year's time. You know what God's looking for? He's looking for that youth group that'll say, hey, you know what? We can do this. Look right up here. I'll tell you one more story. Look right up here and then I'll pray. I preached this message 10 years ago at the Southside Baptist Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. James Stroud was a youth pastor over in Maryland. He came. He listened to this message. Pretty good sized church. Independent Baptist Church. Mike Creed's pastored there. Independent Baptist Church outside of Washington, D.C. James Stroud was the youth pastor at that time. He got on the bus, pretty good sized youth group, and he said, you know what? What that preacher said is right. If we would decide we're going to care, we could come back here next year with twice as many as we had this year. Let's pray about that. Let's give ourselves to it. He organized that thing. He had teenagers waiting on the front step every single Sunday. He had them meet in the foyer and sweep like I'm talking about. He had them get on bus routes so they could meet the teenagers as they're getting on the route. He just decided we're going to reach out to anybody and everybody, and we're going to try to bring them in. Watch this. I can't remember what he had, 30, 35 teens. I don't remember the exact numbers. Sorry, I just don't. But the next year, I wasn't preaching at the same conference. But on the way to the conference, my phone rang. And I answered the phone, and he said, Brother Ross? I said, yes. He said, James Stroud. I said, hey, James. Me and him went to Bible college together. I've known him for a long time. He said, I know you're not preaching at the conference this year, but I wanted to tell you you were right. I said, what was I right about? I had no idea about any of this going on. He said, preacher, he said, last year we brought 30-some to our youth conference. This year we're bringing over 80 teenagers to youth conference. And the main difference was this. Our kids caught a vision to reach out and influence and love and make feel comfortable and wanted other teenagers. I said, you got to be kidding me. He said, I just wanted you to know. We've worked at it a year. God's word works. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, dear God, for this time we've been able to spend in your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take this concept of compassion and care, and Lord, we would fix things maybe between us. As long as there's division in a youth group, it's really hard to do what I'm talking about. Young people here perhaps just need to fix some things. Some of them need to fix things with authority. Some of them need to fix things with each other. But some things need to be fixed. But Lord, I pray, dear God, whether it's a whole youth group or not, if there'd be a handful that would say, you know what, let's do this. Let's do it. If there'd be one girl that says, you know what, there's a lot of things I can't do, but I could do that. I could do that. I could go find another girl. I could watch the back of the church. I could make a difference in somebody's life. Help us, Lord, dear God, to get this, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.